If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za. Make it make sense. Make sense. With Ayanda Nyathi.
And you know, the nice thing about this feature is that we don't want to take responsibility.
Absolutely.
We never take responsibility.
Today, Putti, we are excusing ourselves.
Because it's something that we started once we heard that there was a strike at Gautrain.
Yes.
And the question that I think Khumutso and Tsikumba asked was, are they making profit?
Khumutso and Tsikumba.
Yeah, that's
no,
the question.
No, that
was you.
That was you.
Must be my age.
It must be your age.
What's happening, my guy?
All right, so yes, you might not want to be involved in it, but in a way, you're at the heart of why we're having this conversation.
Yes.
So at least admissions in the house.
Thank you.
The Gautrain strike has made headlines for some time now. It has raised a number of questions around how we got here, but we thought perhaps it's worth this Monday morning just hitting the pause button and asking a few clarity-seeking questions around how we got here, and I suppose allow the listener from that point of view to make up their mind about how they see the strike. And claims have been made in the public domain. NUMSA, for example, who of course is leading the strike, has come out to say a few things against Gautrain. In case you missed it, essentially, workers affiliated to the union have down tools since last week Monday, so 7 days exactly from today. They're demanding a 9% salary hike, and of course, that's where the breakdown seems to have been because negotiations deadlocked. But as part of the conversation that happened last week, Gautrain decided that it might be worth coming on air to just answer a few questions for us about at least ways in which they see things. And joining us now on the line is the CEO of Gautrain, Tshepo Kobe, who has listened to some of those questions and is hopefully able to answer some of those for us now. Tshepo, it's great to have you here on Drive 959. Thanks very much indeed for speaking to us.
Thank you for having me, and good evening to everybody.
Lovely to have you. Good afternoon. So among the questions that have been asked as we make sense of the strike is Gautrain currently operating at a loss, or are you actually making a profit? And I suppose this question comes from people who are trying to understand whether or not you can meet NUMSA's demand.
Thank you for the Kaya's and for giving us the right of reply after the comments that was made on this show last week, and first and foremost, I think we need to educate each other about the issue of what they call it, of public transport as a whole. So public transport as a whole, it's what we call a negative concession, and let me explain what the negative concession is. And with me mindful that you are a music radio station, so I cannot go long deep into the issue. And as we discussed it, is that when what they call it, when you said it, so first we start with the user pay principle. The user pay principle is very simple. Those who use the systems or those who use a particular utility must pay for it. And when you pay for it, what ends up happening is that there's a price that gets, that is what they call it, that is acquired from building any item. And then that price then comes and it then is looked at on how do you divide up the number so that you can have a payback and be able to recoup the money that you used to pay for the utility itself. Now, that in itself is either you give it directly to the customer, to the user, to pay for it in full, or in the place of transport. In transport, what you do is you then make a decision. Do we still regard transport as a social service? And if it's a social service, then you actually subsidize the commuter to actually use the system as
all right.
In the case of the Gautrain, that decision was made, and that decision was made to then say, we will not charge the full price, which is actually, truly speaking, double what the current cost of what they call it, of the Gautrain day-to-day is, if you were to use it in any nominal terms.
All right, so can I come in there quickly,
now,
Tshepo, before you carry on, because I'm afraid we might lose some people. In other words, Gautrain is not really working to make a profit. You're more concerned about providing a service to consumers.
I am with you. So Gautrain originally was designed as an economic enabler. And somehow, in order they call it, 14 years later, that part of what they call it, of what the Gautrain was intended to do has been, you know, swept under carpets or has been pushed aside and for more what the vehicle, the populist view that Gautrain must make money and we will promise a system that makes money and also other things. Whereas the issue is, as an economic enabler, you then pick a water vehicle or you pay a price at a price point that actually makes sense for the kind of commuter you're trying to attract. Now, I think your normal question that comes from this kind of conversation is that, is this the kind of pricing that was regular that actually enabled movement of the people? How train was packed at a particular level? And when you look at these things, you got to look at it from the sense of a transport mix. And when you say a transport mix, you look at those that want to go fast and they're willing to pay for the amount of money. Those that want to go at a particular speed but they want to pay less.
Yep.
Those that prefer certain modes of transport. Mm. So all these modes of transport are supposed to be functional. Unfortunately, at the current moment, with the collapse of some of the rail systems, what you end up with is everything gets lumped on the house rent. You say, you must carry everybody, and therefore your price point must be at a level where it covers everybody.
All right.
That's not how the system was originally intended and designed.
Okay, all right. So the way Gautrain is working now is not how it was intentionally designed, and that's affected the pricing. All right, I'm hoping we'll be able to break this down a bit further, but very quickly if you can, because we're out of time. Of course, the hook was always around the strike and whether or not you're able to finally meet the demands that NUMSA is asking for. Where are we with the negotiations? Because as far as we know at the moment, we're still deadlocked.
Now, so what ended up happening is that we got to a point where what was called the Section 150 of the Labor Relations Act was brought on board, and the CCMA then stepped in to be able to mediate between the two teams. So from Thursday, the teams then met again. But they met on a smaller scope of issues to deal with. Our role originally as the asset owner, though, remember, the NUMSA is not striking against us. They're striking against their employer, which is the Bombela operating company.
Right.
And therefore, the issue was for us to be able to bring the two teams back together on the table. They are on the table. A new offer has been tabled by DOC. And therefore, it was the process that needs to unfold now. Until I get a certificate of resolution or non-resolution or a deadlock, we cannot speak about a deadlock, Ayanda. The reason that the discussions are still continuing.
Okay, all right. So discussions are still continuing. The union hasn't necessarily received what they wanted either, which means, as far as we know, workers aren't at their post. Tshepo Kgobe, thanks very much indeed for speaking to us. I know these issues are a bit complex and admittedly missed for time, which makes it hard to sometimes communicate these things. But nonetheless, listening into that, we have a representative from NUMSA as well who joins us to just give a very quick response to what they make of what's been said so far and at least the way forward insofar as they see it. Mduduzi Nkosi is the chief negotiator for workers at NUMSA in Gautrain. Mduduzi, I'm sure you heard part of what was said. Very briefly, sir, your quick response.
Thank you very much, and good evening to your listeners. Yes, indeed, I was listening to the CEO of the GMA. For NUMSA, really, we are very disappointed with the GMA because we met with the strike will have started on Monday last week, and we met with the management of the GMA, including the CEO, on Tuesday. We were hopeful that those discussions were going to yield results. Unfortunately, they did not yield any results. We were promised, really, that we are going to be getting a new offer, which was never forthcoming. We had the CCMA intervening, as we have correctly said, on Thursday last week. Unfortunately, we actually, under the facilitation of the CCMA on Thursday, the entire day until we left there at night, DOC, which is the operating company, did not offer any different offer than what they actually presented at the CCMA, which sure. led to the dispute, as it were. So the report back to members was in that regard, that there was absolutely no different offer that was tabled by DOC management on Thursday.
All right.
Yes.
Loud and clear. Mduduzi Nkosi, thanks very much indeed. Part of NUMSA. All right. So the sense I'm getting from that, and again, you'll forgive us. You know, I think a lot of these office bearers really try to communicate complex issues, and it's really a challenge to do that in, 5 or 10 minutes. But as things stand, the Gautrain is operating in ways in which it wasn't initially intended, which sometimes complicates the kind of money that they can make from the service itself. And with labor issues, there's always going to be a pull and a push from workers and what they want. And the sense I'm getting is that in this particular case, they haven't found each other just yet.
Yeah, it's the longest make it make sense ever. The most sophisticated one ever. I told you, boys!
Make it make sense. Make sense. With Ayanda Nyati. If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.